Psalm 119, starting in verse number 9. Your Bibles are open. Your finger is on verse number 2. Your mind is focused on the Word of God. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. For my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselor. Father, here we are, disciples, to sit at your feet. You sent your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, and that's what we desire, to be led into the truth. And then you sent your Holy Spirit to guide us, and you gave us your Holy Spirit to cause us to keep your commandments. And so here we are today, Lord. We're ready to hear. We're ready to see. We're ready to be taught. We're ready to learn. And hopefully we're ready to obey. And we're ready to surrender all. We pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your Bibles open, and you should have something to write with and something to take notes with. You have our sermon notes in front of you. So right in front of us is 2024. Here's the goals that we're going to be putting before us each and every single Sunday. First and foremost, we want to see God. And you'll hear us talk about that in our Bible studies. You'll hear us talk about that in each sermon. We want not just to read the Word of God. We want to see God in the Word of God and His wondrous law. And as we see God, we want to be filled with awe. And we want to fear God. Christians used to be called God-fearing people. Where's the fear today? We'll talk a lot about God's fear in 2024. We want to know God. We don't want to know facts about... Well, we do want to know facts about God. We want to know doctrine, but we want to have a real, growing, deepening relationship with God. We want to know God like we've never known God before. So when we stand here at the end of December 2024, we'll look back to 2024 and we will be able to see that our walk with God was more precious than it was even today at the end of 2023. That's our desire. And we want to worship God. And if we see Him and if we are filled with awe and if we fear Him and if we know Him, we will worship Him like we've never worshiped Him before. We will not be able to wait for Sunday to gather together because this worship will be moving in us. And we just say, start George, start Martin, start so that we can worship God. And everybody who sees and is awe-filled and feared and fear God and are walking in a real relationship with Him and worshiping Him will obey Him. They will want to please Him. And they will want to demonstrate their love to Him because with their own obedience. We're about to enter into 2024, and so as the overseer of the church, I have to blow the trumpet. Now I pray that you're listening. You may not like the next couple of slides, but we need to hear them as we go into 2024. And your pastor is telling you, beware of 2024. Wake up, as Paul would say to the Roman saints. He says the same thing to the Colossians. Wake up. We right now are under the judgment of God. But in the 21st century, we don't think about the judgment of God. But if we see what is happening in the world, it is God who is doing all of this. I encourage you to read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 33. Just like He did to Israel, He is doing the exact same thing in the 21st century. What can we expect in 2024? There will be a greater falling away from Christ and from the church than has ever been before. Love will be growing cold, even among Christians. Lawlessness will increase. Even in London, just last night, riots. Lawlessness. In my country, absolute lawlessness. Violence will increase and there will be not less war, there will be more war. God will continue to hand us over to a reprobate mind and the reprobate minds of the world will get worse and worse. They are adding letters to the LGBT alphabet and they'll continue to add. They're adding one for tree lovers. People who have a relationship, I'm not kidding, a relationship with trees. That's just a reprobate mind. That's foolishness. There's going to be an economic crisis in 2024. The nations, if you follow economics and you see what banks are doing, you can see what governments are doing. It's not going to be an easy year economically. There will be an increase of persecution in the world. People will become more complacent. There will be no fear of God, as if there is any fear of God right now. More and more people will completely disregard God's law. And there will be less of being church. People will still come to a building to sing songs. But more and more people will be less doing or being church rather than just coming to church. And evil will grow more and more evil. Jesus Christ warned us in the churches that there will be many false teachers that will come, and those false teachers will deceive many. And as I have done for the past several Sundays, I pointed out to you that Jesus Christ said many. So we have to ask ourselves, are we going to join the crowd, or are we going to be a remnant in 2024, God's remnant? And if that is the case, then we need revival. Where are we going in 2024, especially next Sunday? Well, we're going into it as a body. We're going into it as one body with many members. And we're going to ask ourselves, who is the church? And we're going to take a serious look at what is the miracle of regeneration. What does it really mean to be born again? And we'll continue to remind ourselves of God's purpose, that from all of eternity God purposed to gather to Himself a special people from every nation and tribe, people and tongue. He Himself would recreate them into His own image. He would demonstrate His love towards them, that He would purchase them with the blood of His own Son so that they could be His special people, so that they could be His children, for His heirs for all of eternity. And each and every person who receives this grace, who understands that they are one of God's special people, every single one of them will treasure, glorify, praise, worship, enjoy, and obey Him for His infinite worth and His beauty, for now and for all of eternity. For His own glory He does all of this, and for their, His people's, good and pleasure. In 2024, we will grow. We must grow as disciples. Paul writes to the elect. Paul writes to God's special people. I'm sorry, through Peter. Peter writes, and he says that we all must grow in the knowledge and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit moved Peter to use the present tense, the active voice, and the imperative mood. To grow as a disciple in 2024 is not a suggestion. It's not a cheerleader coming up here and saying, let's grow, let's grow, let's grow. It's a command from God, because God loves us and He knows that if we're growing, that that's good for us. It is a command from a loving Father that we actively ourselves grow. What was Jesus Christ's commission before He ascended into heaven? Well, first and foremost, He said, all authority has been given to Me from heaven and earth. So Jesus Christ is speaking with authority. Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 17, verses 2 and 3, Jesus Christ has authority over all flesh. He has authority over your life. He has authority over the nations. His authority over His church. And what did He tell the church? Go and make believers? No, He didn't. Go and save people from hell? No, He didn't. He said to the church, go make disciples. That's the command. Go make disciples. Baptize disciples. Not just anybody who raises their hand and says, I believe in Jesus Christ. Baptize disciples and then teach disciples to obey everything that He has commanded. That's the great commission given to the church. Disciples follow Christ. That's what disciples do. We got churches filled with people who say they believe. When I go to pastors' meeting, I hear pastors say, I hear them say, well, we had 20 baptisms last month. I read a newsletter from a mission organization leader, and the first sentence was, through us, 15,000 people have been saved this year. I wanted to ask the CEO of that mission organization, how many of those 15,000 are disciples? Churches boast about being mega churches, about having lots of people in the church and having lots of church members. But I want to ask, how many of those church members are disciples? Jesus Christ walked up to a man called Matthew, a tax collector, a hated person by the Jews. And Jesus Christ said two words to him, follow me. And Levi stopped what he was doing and he followed Christ for the rest of his life. Dropped everything and followed. A bunch of disciples came up to Jesus Christ and says, "Look at! I want you to look at this very carefully. Let me." This guy comes up and he says, "I want to be your disciple. Let me first go and bury my father." But look what Jesus Christ said: "Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead." I have heard people try to twist this out and water it down and everything else. And Jesus Christ says, if you're going to be my disciple, I have to be absolutely number one in your life. So we want to be able to remind ourselves what a disciple is. And Jesus Christ said that anybody who's going to follow me, anybody who's going to call themselves a Christian, if anybody's going to be my disciple, he must deny himself. And underline that, circle and meditate on that. What does that mean to you to deny yourself? To take up his cross daily. And he must follow me. And if you can't do those things, he's not one of my disciples. He makes it even truer. He who does not take up his cross and he who does not follow me is not worthy of me. In 2024, you're going to see this slide a lot. It's a black and white slide. And that is who God is. God is a black and white God. Either you are a disciple or you're not a disciple. People want to live in the middle. And there is no middle when it comes to God. We have to understand, what did Jesus Christ mean about being a disciple? Now, words have a tendency of changing meanings. It used to be, when I was growing up as a young boy, we might say, hey, that family over there is gay. We meant that they were a happy family. But the word has changed, hasn't it? And people have a tendency of changing words from the Word of God. You cannot change the meaning of God's Word to fit your lifestyle or your culture. A disciple is one who is determined to become just like his master by being disciplined in his master's studies and obedience. That's a disciple. Anything less than that is not a disciple. That's when Jesus Christ used that word, and as the first century people used that word, that was the meaning that they had. To become a disciple of a rabbi, to become a disciple of a master, there were requirements in the first century. First and foremost, you were chosen by the master. You could not choose to be the disciple of a master. The Master chose His own disciples. The Master required total submission to Him. They were to meet together. The disciples were to meet together. They came together. They dialogued about Scripture and life. They came to discuss things. And they might be saying, well, let me go on to that. They were required to memorize books, large portions of Scripture. There was supposed to be lively debate among the disciples. But in the end, the Master's interpretation was binding. Whatever the Master said was to be taken seriously. There was supposed to be daily interaction with the Master, not just one day a week or 2 days a week, but daily interaction with the Master. And the goal of a disciple was to become exactly like the Master. That's what Jesus Christ understood when He said, if you're going to be My disciple, here's our understanding of it. Is Christ your Lord? Our Master. We call Him Lord, which means Master. Christ commands His followers to wholeheartedly and uncompromising to follow Him. Wholehearted following Him. Uncompromising in following Him. My sheep hear My voice. I know them and they follow Me. Jesus takes no excuses. Let that sink in. He demands total submission to what He teaches. Excuses about, I have a family to take care of. I have an exam coming up. It's raining outside. Christ takes no excuses from His disciples. Christ commands His disciples to follow Him on His terms, on the Master's terms. You can't come alongside and say, God, I'm going to follow You, and this is the way I'm going to follow You. Jesus Christ says, then you're not My disciple. Go find another Master. It's on His terms. And He says, whoever doesn't forsake all, he cannot be My disciple. Christ commands that obedience to Him must be the disciple's top priority. When there is a decision to be made, do I obey Christ or do I do this? Whatever it is, Christ demands that you obey Him. Christ commands total submission to His Word. He says, if you abide in My Word, then you are My disciples indeed. So is Christ your Lord? Inside your guides to worship, you have this handout that I've handed out before. I fall short of my Lord's commands. I know that I can't do it myself, and so all through the week, I'm praying for God's help to do these things. Now, the way that I do it is I divide this handout in five, and so on Monday through Friday, I examine myself and ask God for help so that I can follow Him with total submission. We'll remind ourselves very quickly of the six D's of disciples that have been before us all this past year. First and foremost, a disciple has a burning, passionate desire to be just like his master. David says this, "As a deer pants for water, so pants my soul for you, O God." Do you have a burning desire to grow as a disciple and to please God in everything that you do? If you can answer yes, then you're on your way of being one of his disciples. A disciple is determined. He has a plan to grow as a disciple. Paul says it this way to the church at Corinth, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize?" Run, you run as you're going for the winning of that one crown. In other words, give it your all. And to give it your all, you got to train. You got to be disciplined. And that's another one that's coming up. And so, do you have a plan? Are you determined to do whatever it costs to become like Christ, your Lord? A disciple is disciplined. Jesus Christ says this, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end, that person will be saved." It takes discipline to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It is not easy. I was sitting in a discipleship class of one-on-one with a young man this past week, and he told me, he says, "Bob, I listened to you, and I got on my face in my bedroom, and I asked God to save me." And I looked at him, and I said, "Was it real?" He says, "Yeah, Bob, I did it. I went down there and then I got up and I read the Bible a little bit more, and then I got down and I asked God again, 'Is it real?'" And he said, "Yes." And I looked at him, "Is it real? Did you count the cost?" Because I told him, it doesn't matter how you start, it matters how you end, because only those who endure to the end shall be saved. Because disciples are disciplined each and every day. So are you following all the way to the end? Are you disciplining your life so that Christ is your top priority? A disciple is diligent. Diligent. Peter says this to the elect. He says it to believers. And he says, "Giving all diligence, you, the elect of God, believers of Jesus Christ, add to your faith virtue." You add to your faith virtue. Add to your future knowledge. Add to yourself self-control. And add perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, sacrificial love. And look what he says next. "And if these things are yours and abound," circle those two words, "and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Disciples give it their all in their growth. And so, are you giving your all in your discipleship? Are you making every effort to grow? A disciple delights himself in his master. That's why he wants to follow the master. That's why he wants to be with the master. "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Or, "I will delight myself in your commandments, of which I love." A disciple delights in the Lord. He delights in the law of the Lord. He delights in the Sabbath of the Lord. Do you delight in meditating on His Word day and night? And are God's commandments your delight? Disciples are doers, They do what the master tells them to do. They're not deceiving themselves. They hear the master say, do this, and they go out and do it. Do you hear your pastor preach every Sunday and ignore what he says? Have you deceived yourself believing that believing you do not have to do what God says and still go to heaven? That's the 21st century. You can ignore God. You can ignore God's word, and you can still go to heaven. No, you can't. No, you can't. If you ignore what God says in His Word, some of you will ignore it by not even reading the Word. Some of you will ignore it by reading it but not doing it. You cannot ignore God and go to heaven. Are you a disciple? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Only disciples go to heaven. Only disciples go to heaven. So in 2024, we want to see God. We want God to open up our eyes so that we might see the wondrous things of His law. We know that His law is perfect. It is sure. It is right. It is pure. It is clean. It is true. It is true. And look what the psalmist says about this. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And he's talking about the law of God, the commandments of God. And he says this, and he says, moreover, by them your servant is warned. Look at this. Look at what God says. And in keeping them, there is a great reward. Paul, what was Paul's commission? What did Jesus Christ commission Paul to do? But he said that you are to go and open the eyes. Open the eyes in order to turn them away from darkness and turn them to light. Open their eyes so that they turn away from the power of Satan and they turn to God. He didn't say, I might get stoned for this. He didn't say so that they would turn to Jesus. Jesus is talking. And what does Jesus do every time that he talks? He gives glory to God. Open their eyes, Paul, so that they might see, so that they might be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, that they might be turned to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And there's the me for Jesus Christ. Christ wants people to see God. Christ wants them to see and be in awe of who God. Even though God is invisible, we want to be able to see Him like Moses saw Him. Even though He dwells in unapproachable light, we want to see Him. Even angels dare not even look upon them. We want to see Him high and lifted up on His throne. Even though His face shines as the sun, and our mothers taught us, don't look and stare at the sun because you'll go blind. We want to see Him high and lifted up. We'll take warnings from the Word of God that God has given to us in the nation of Israel. Listen to these nations. God says to His people, and He says, seeing you hate instruction, and you cast my words behind your back. You've cast my law behind your back. Think about 21st century Christianity. Let's do the law of God. Whoa, no, 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 no. 21st century Christianity, we don't do law. We're under grace. Well, we've thrown God's law. behind our backs. God says, I have written great things in my law, but they are counted as a strange thing to you. Great things are in his law. You have cast me behind your back. You cast God's law, you cast God's word behind your back, you have cast God himself. Even the priests in the Old Testament did violence to God's law. They rejected knowledge and they forgot the law of their God. And young parents, listen to me very carefully. God says in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, you have forgotten my law, I will forget your children. That's a pretty serious command from God. They refused to hear the law of God. They mocked God's messengers. They despised his word and they scoffed at the prophets. And what was the result? God handed them over to their enemies. And all you have to do is read your Bibles to know what that phrase means. When he brought the Babylonians into Jerusalem, when he brought the Assyrians into the northern kingdom, then you might understand. If you read the book of Lamentations, you'll understand that God handed them over because they did not listen to God's messengers. And God's messengers' message was, repent and turn back to God's law. Psalm 2 can be read today. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage? Let's just put yourself in the 21st century as you read this. The people plot a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed one. And what are they saying? Let us break their bonds in pieces and let's cast away their cords upon us. We don't want God in our lives. We don't want God controlling us. So let's break the bonds. But he who is in heaven laughs because they are holding to a vain thing and the Lord shall hold them in derision. Do we learn from history? Do we learn from biblical history in 2024? In order to see God, you have to be born again. Jesus Christ speaks to the most religious person in all of Israel and he says, Nicodemus, unless you start all over, you will never see the kingdom of God. You cannot see. You don't have the ability to see. And we'll talk about this miracle of regeneration next week. There was a man blind for 38 years. And Jesus Christ healed him. And his testimony was, one thing I know. I was blind. But now I see. And his eyes were opened. And he followed Christ. Christ had a lot to talk about the eye. The eye is a lamp unto the body. If the eye is good, then the whole body will be full of light. We need to see God. We don't need to be focused on the things here on earth, but we need to see God and the wondrous things that are in His law. And then we'll have light inside of our bodies. Jesus Christ says, if your right eye causes you to sin, then cut it off. Bringing out the importance of filling your body with light from God and seeing those things that are in His law rather than those things in the world. When Paul was praying for the saints, Paul prayed for the saints at Ephesus. He prayed five things for them, and I'm going to ask you to pray this throughout this week, this prayer of Paul. Paul says, I want God to give you the Spirit. I want your eyes to be open so that you have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. There's that growing in the knowledge of God. That the eye of their understanding be enlightened, but they might know the hope of His calling, to know the riches of His inheritance, to know the exceeding greatness of His power towards those who believe. And those, that they might know the greatness of Christ and who He is. He gave us an aid to be able to see. He gave us the Word of God. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If we don't use the light, then we will certainly stumble in darkness. If we don't think that we need the light each and every day, then we will stumble in darkness. God gave us a light to use continually in our dark ways. Even in Psalm 43, verse number 3, send out your light and your truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Look at this. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We need a life as we journey on the narrow path that leads to life. Why pray such a prayer like this? Why pray it? Well, Paul prayed. He prayed again for the saints at Ephesus. And what did he pray? He prayed, chapter 1, verses 15 through 22, but he also prayed, chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. He told the saints at Ephesus to wake up. That's how I started my sermon today. It's time for us, the saints, to wake up and arise from the dead. And the promise is that Christ will give us light for 2024. Paul prayed, see that you walk circumspectly. Paul wouldn't say that unless it was dangerous out there. And so we must walk circumspectly, not as fools of the world, but as wise people. We need to redeem the time that God is giving us. Every single minute that He gives us, we ought to use it to bring glory to His name, because the days are evil. And therefore, He tells us, do not be unwise, but understand. Circle this and understand it. Understand what the will of the Lord is and do the will. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father in heaven. And in order to do the will of the Father in heaven, you have to understand what the will of the Father is. And there's only one place that you can find the will of the Father, and that's in the Word of God. We read from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14, and as I was preparing my sermon, I trembled. And when Emmanuel was up here reading again, I trembled at these words. The church of Laodicea can be just named the church of the 21st century. Jesus Christ writes a letter to a church. He says, I know your works. I see you. I see your hearts. And just like the church of Laodicea, we don't even know that we are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But our pride just said, not us. We're serious about the Word of God. We're serious about worship. We don't even know that we are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And you've heard me say over and over in 2023, if I could take you back 200 years, you would confess with your mouth, compared to the saints of 200 years ago, we are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. We think we're wealthy, and we think that we need nothing. And let me prove it to you. How many times this past week did you ask over and over and over to God, help me? We just went through life. Because we don't think we need God. We don't think we need prayer. We don't think that we have to ask Him over and over for help. And I would encourage you to take a serious look at that handout. And all the time, we're making Christ sick. He says to the church, He says it to the church at Laodicea, I wish you were cold, I wish you were hot, but you are lukewarm, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Is that what we want? Christ is knocking outside. Listen to me. He is not knocking on unbelievers' hearts. He's not knocking at your heart and say, let me in. Listen to me, church. He's knocking on the door of a church. A church. Paul gave us the end time prophecy of what the church would look like. He says that we're going to love ourselves more than we love God and love others. And that's true. We have only a form of godliness. We do not believe that doctrine is necessary. We have turned away from the truth of God's Word. We have cast God's law behind our back because we don't think it's important to obey every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And we have cast God out of the government. We have cast God out of the universities. We have cast God out of the churches. We have cast God out of our families. And we have cast God out of our own lives. We really don't know God. That's why the pastor is leading us, so that we might see God for who He really is. We don't even know that Christ is knocking at the door. Why pray such a prayer? Well, we want to pray this prayer so that we might see God. You heard that over and over again. We want to see God. We want to see God like Ezekiel saw God, like John saw God, like James and John, James, John, and Matthew saw Jesus Christ high and lifted up. We want to be able to see God so that we fall on our faces before Him. When's the last time you fell on your face to worship God? Really? What vision of God do you have? A God that you can stand before? All those who saw God never stood before God. I want us to see God. I want to pray this prayer. Open our eyes, Father, so that we might see the dimness of our spiritual vision, to prevent our wandering from going left and to right. I want us to be able to see the invisible and to endure whatever comes at us in 2024. And when Moses saw the invisible, He was able to look at everything that was against him and still do what God told him to do. I want us, God, to open our eyes so that our faith is a genuine, real, saving faith. Because I hear my Lord Jesus Christ say about the end times, and he says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" And we are living in the end times. What do we need in 2024? Well, you've heard everything that I've already said, haven't you? What we need is revival. So join me in praying for revival. Join me in prayer meetings praying for revival. Join me in Bible studies praying for revival. Join me in worship praying for revival. Keep on knocking. Let's knock on God's door and say, "Here we are again. We're asking, we're seeking you, Lord. We want you." God says through Jeremiah, says, "Return, you backsliding children." And here's God's promise to us. "And I will heal your backsliding." That's the hope that I have for 2024. What do we need? We need to do what we heard Emmanuel read from Revelation chapter 3. We need to buy gold from Jesus Christ. Gold refined by fire. And what is being taught there is we need our faith refined. Put us into the fire. Put us into the fire, Lord. But hold us there and pull us out when we can't take anymore. We need white garments because our garments have been spotted with the world. We got dirt from the world on us. We need to buy from Jesus Christ eyesalve so that we might see. So that we might see. So Jesus Christ says to the church, "Church, repent." He doesn't say it to unbelievers. He's saying it to the church that he's standing outside, and he says, "Repent." And he says to the church, "Be zealous. Be zealous for me." Somebody has to open the door. Will you pray with me this week? "Here I am, Lord. I'm opening the door. Please come in and fellowship with us." And Jesus Christ would stand outside the door and he would look straight at me and say, "On whose terms, Bob? On my terms or yours?" If it's your terms, if it is your terms that you want me to come in and fellowship with you, close the door and I'll keep on knocking. But if you want me to come in on my terms, let's sit down. Let's sit down and fellowship like we've never fellowshiped before. Let's sit down with my word in front of you, and I will open the understanding of your minds, and I will show you the wondrous things in my law. And we'll have a Bible study with the Lord Jesus Christ like we've never had before. We need to add to our faith that virtue, that knowledge, that self-control, that perseverance, that godliness, that brotherly kindness, that selfless love. And if we have these things, and if these things abound in our lives, then we will be fruitful. And then we will be able to see. But those who don't want to add to their faith, well, they become short-sighted. They have no idea what it means to have their sins forgiven. That's what Peter said. We need to come into 2024 at the very beginning with a commitment to come and to walk in the light as He is in the light. We need to pray to Him every single day, increase our faith. I'm asking you, church, that in 2024 that you not be satisfied with your faith. I'm asking that you pray to God, increase our faith, Lord. We need to see God and we need to worship God. Let's end with some hope. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hosea. Now, that's in the Old Testament, right at the beginning of the Minor Prophets. And here's our hope for 2024. OHIBC, OHIBC, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord and say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. The world will not save us. The nations will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say anymore, the work of our hands are our gods. For in you the fatherless find mercy. God says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to HIBC, and he shall grow like a lily and lengthen its roots like Lebanon. You really got to understand that phrase of why that is said like that. His branches shall spread, his beauty shall be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. Isn't that what we want, HIBC? Those who dwell under his shadow shall return, and they shall be revived like grain, and grow, there's that word grow again, like the vine, and their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard and observed him, and I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found, church, your fruit is found in God, in Christ. And let's underline and let's circle. Let's highlight it again. Let's put a cloud around it. Let's put stars around verse number 9. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them. But the transgressors stumble in them. Father God, open up our eyes. Help us to see. Father, open our eyes like you opened Isaiah's eyes. And Father, show us our filth. Open our eyes to our sins, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. And then, Father, open our eyes to your love, to the cross, and help us to see the cross like we've never seen the cross before. Take a burning coal from your altar, Lord, and don't only touch our lips, but refine us, Lord. Refine us. We want your gold. We want white garments. And we need eyesalve. Open our eyes, Lord. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're about to sing a song like eagles. And in this song, there's a promise. I want you to sing the promise. I want you to know the promise that we don't have to go into 2024 alone. He is with us.
Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no mind, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint like eagles.